Talks. It's Laura. I am bringing you from season 3, episode 20 of the Power Mama Docs podcast, Dr. Joy Burke. I've been holding on to this episode for a little bit and I got a little busy and I've been watching way too much Olympics. Maybe you guys have been watching along too, but track and fields has been absorbing sort of all my attention and so exciting. But yes, I did get to speak with Joy, or Dr. Burke, about a week and a half ago. She is moving to the Boston area for a new job. Dr. Burke is a neuro-oncologist and also practices general neurology. She's married to another neurologist. They have 3 kiddos. And they just made this huge move from Rochester, New York, where she did medical school and just lived almost 20 years of her life there. And they're now in the Boston area. And we talk about her running. She's a fantastic speedy runner, really, really great running the Boston Marathon this upcoming fall. And we just talk all about her career and her running and her kids and all the things. So please enjoy my conversation with Dr. Joy Burke.
Hi.
Yay, it worked.
Yay.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, sounds great.
Awesome. Hi, Joy. How you doing?
I'm good. There was another lightning storm here last night. We lost power and Wi-Fi this morning, so luckily it's back.
Oh, good. That's always fun.
Yeah, it's happened. Yeah. We've lived here 2 weeks and it's happened twice so far.
Yeah. Well, I was going to get all into that. I'm calling you at the craziest possible time of your life. I feel like we're doing this like an insane time where you're moving. But to introduce you, this is Dr. Joy Burke, who is newly in the, is it the Boston area?
Yes, in the suburbs.
In the suburbs. What town are you in?
I'm in Concord.
Nice. And tell us what you're doing there now.
We just moved here from Rochester, New York, where I had lived for the past 19 years since starting medical school there. And I took a job which is a center.
Hello?
Every time the phone goes to sleep, it kind of...
Oh, it goes out.
Yeah. Just keep touching it constantly.
Yeah, just keep touching it, I guess. Sorry.
Okay. So my job is that I do neuro-oncology and general neurology. So I do a mix, but my subspecialty is the neuro-oncology.
Okay. And it was time for a change?
Yeah, I was looking for a little bit more... growth potential for me and a place where I would feel really appreciated. They needed this specialist here. They haven't had one at the hospital for a while. So they're very motivated to have me join, and that feels good.
Of course. Yes. We all need to be appreciated. So where are you working, or where are you going to be working, I guess?
Yeah. So I'm working for the Beth Israel Lahey Health System.
Yeah.
And I will be at the Lahey Clinic location in Burlington, Massachusetts.
Awesome. And you packed all your things and all your kids and your husband in like a, I don't know, in a van or some, you know, in a car, and you guys just drove over just recently.
Yep. It's a 5.5-hour drive from where we live. You just basically drive on the thruway and the turnpike straight. But yeah, everybody's kind of along on this ride, you know, spurred on by my decision to move. So
what is your husband a neurologist too?
He is. Yes.
Wow. And obviously he's on board. So what, did he find a new job? Did he come, you know, is he going to be in your department?
Yeah, they basically made a job for him in the system. Not that they're not always, you know, I think everywhere is always looking for doctors, especially specialists. But they weren't specifically looking for what he does. But they made a job for him. So he's a neurohospitalist and he does mostly stroke, and they actually have like a pretty big stroke department already, but some of their other hospitals in the network, so I think there's 8 or more hospitals, they don't really have a stroke service. So he's going to be doing neurohospitalist and stroke at some of their other regional sites and trying to kind of get a service going there.
Wow. They got a 2-for-1. That's amazing. Was it a hard decision for you all to, like, you know, pick up all your roots and just go for it?
Yeah, it's super hard because, well, lots of reasons. I mean, mostly my kids. I'm, you know, worry about them. They're worried about making new friends. I know they will. And once school starts, things will fall into place. But right now they don't know anybody. And they're little. And so they, you know, are scared about not having friends and things like that.
Yeah. Those are your kids. You have 3, right?
I have 3. And then I also have a stepchild, who's an adult, who'll be visiting later this summer.
Okay.
My stepchild is Catherine. She is 21, and she still lives in Rochester. And then my children are Finn, who's 9, Aaron, who is 8, and Declan, who is 5.
Okay. And they're all, I guess, settling in right now.
There really haven't been a lot of tears or major meltdowns or anything so far. So knock on wood, it seems to be going okay. And my sister-in-law is visiting right now, so she took them to the pool.
Awesome.
And they're having fun right now.
Awesome. Did you buy a house? Did you come and buy a house, or are you renting first?
We bought a house. one of my best friends from college is a realtor in the area. And so she really helped navigate the process, and the market's very aggressive. And she kind of told us right off the bat, you might not get a house. You might have to rent for a while. I don't know how this is going to go. And just very fortuitously, I think we kind of fell into a situation where we were able to get this house.
Awesome.
And just at the right time, like the owners who were in it before wanted to leave in June. We wanted to come in July. It just all worked out.
Awesome. Oh my gosh. That's a lot of change going on. So when do you start?
I technically started Monday, but everything they've scheduled me for has been remote. So
I see.
I'm at home right now.
Okay. That's good, I guess.
Yeah.
That's so exciting. Did you grow up in Rochester?
No, I'm from suburban Philadelphia.
Okay.
I actually live very close to where Julie Brothers lives, because every time she posts a picture, I'm seeing like places that I've run around Swarthmore.
Yeah.
So that's where I grew up. And then I moved to New York for college.
Oh, where'd you go?
I went to New York, not New York City, but Hamilton College.
Oh, yes.
Fantastic. And then a couple friends, we all moved to Boston after that. And I did, I wasn't pre-med in college, so I did a post-bac program, and I worked in a lab for 2 years in Boston. And then I moved to Rochester.
And you've been there ever since?
Ever since, yep.
Awesome. Yeah. I know you had run with Rachel, right? Rachel David.
Yeah.
And she was running her stuff. Wow. That's a really long time to be somewhere and then pick up. But sounds like you have a great situation going.
I hope so. I mean, everyone seems really friendly and nice here, and really it's a very clinically oriented hospital, which is what I was looking for. It's what I like to do.
Yeah. Did you meet your husband in like medical school or in residency or even before that?
We met in residency.
Yeah.
He went to med school at Tulane and then moved up to Rochester for residency. And I did all of my training in Rochester. So we met in residency. He was a year ahead of me. And he's a bit older than me. He had a career prior to medicine. He was a law enforcement national park ranger. Hmm. So he's a year ahead of me in training. But we are 8 years separated in age. And I really ignored him mostly for the first few years of residency because he was married at that time. He was older. I didn't really have things in common with him. I was doing my own thing. And then eventually we just became friends towards my chief year, and he was separated and we got together.
Aww. And then when did you get married?
We got married in 2011.
Okay. That's, you were well into like working and stuff.
I was a fellow.
Okay.
He was in his first attending job, and we did things a little out of order because he did already have the older daughter. So we got a house because we wanted to get her in a certain school district. And so we had a house, and then we decided that we would get pregnant. So we did that. And then we decided we would, you know, actually like get married before I had the baby. So we got the house, we, you know, got pregnant and then got married.
Yeah. Well, the marriage thing, I guess it's just a piece of paper. So
yeah.
And then you kept on having babies, it sounds like.
Yeah. On a fairly regular basis there. My first two kids are like 20 months apart, and then the second and third are like 26 months apart or something.
Yeah. Woo, that's 6 months there. You really took a break. So how is running a part of all this? Like, had you always been a runner, or is that something you found later?
I have not always been a runner. I wasn't really sporty in school. I played field hockey, which was like the sport that I like professed love for, but then I got cut from varsity, so I never really went very far. And I wish I could, I need to like talk to someone who was actually on the team and would remember from back then. But from my memory, I got cut from the team because I didn't make the mile time cutoff at the tryouts one summer.
That doesn't seem likely, Joy.
I didn't run this way back then, you know? So somewhere in the back that probably has been burning as a motivator, like, you know. But no, I picked it up, one summer. I lived on campus at Hamilton, and anybody who's been there or knows about it is very small, remote liberal arts college in the middle of nowhere in New York. So there's nothing to do, in the summer because not that many people live there over the summer. And, there was a track near my dorm, and I just decided to start going and see if I could run a mile. And then by the end of the summer, I was running like 4 or 5 miles. And then I just have always been running since then.
Nice. Did you start like running races immediately, or was that something that happened later?
It happened more later. I did have a good friend in college that once I started being able to run several miles, when she came back on campus, we would run together. And I think she got me to sign up for my first race, which I don't even remember exactly how far it was, probably 5 miles or a 10K or something like that.
Yeah.
And then it was a couple years until I signed up for a half. And then for a lot of med school, once I delved into marathon, I would sign up for one and then I wouldn't do another one for 2 years because of just the pain of it. And like forgetting the pain and then wanting to start over again. That I was on sort of an every 2 year cycle with marathons up until, I guess 3 years ago.
Oh, wow. So how many, I mean, I actually think that's pretty impressive. Like it took me, I don't know, 15 years to run another one after I ran my first one. But, so how many marathons have you run?
I think I've run like 10 or 11.
Wow. That's amazing. So which one, what was your first one? And do you remember the time and like, how was it?
I do. I remember all that. My first one was Dublin. So that's very memorable.
Yeah.
And I was in medical school and I did it with Team Diabetes. So we raised money for, American Diabetes Association. And then you get to go to a destination marathon. So that friend of mine from college that I mentioned, she and her sister and I did that together. And they give you like a local coach. who gives you sort of just a basic plan to follow. And then there's some guided workouts you can go to once a week. So I sort of had some coaching, you know, oversight with him. And I wanted to run a 4-hour marathon, and I ran like 4:07, and I was like devastated.
Oh my God. You were like really serious from the get go. Wow. That you weren't like, I'm just going to try to finish. You were really going for it.
Well, I think, I thought it seemed like a sort of like a, you know, an attainable goal just from just my sort of average pace when I would go out to run. And I was in no way prepared for how difficult a marathon is. Yeah. I basically, you know, from the get-go, I'm like, I'm going to bank time. I'll just run, you know, 10 or 15 seconds per mile faster. And then, and that'll all work out great.
Right.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
So was there a lot of walking in the last 6 miles?
There was walking. There were tears. I do remember a segment of the course where there were like little Irish children out cheering, and they were handing out orange wedges, and it was like the most delicious orange wedge I had ever tasted.
Aww.
Yeah,
it wasn't fun.
It wrecked me.
Yeah, it was positive splits, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I didn't have a Garmin back then.
Yeah. 4:07 is very like commendable for your first marathon, though. I do have to say that's impressive.
I recognize that now.
Yeah. So when you did your second one or started to do them, did you in general always have sort of a time goal in mind?
I always just wanted 4 hours, really, because it took me until 3 years ago to actually accomplish that. So
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I always wanted 4 hours. I always tried to bank time, tried to not consume a lot of sugar. I thought I didn't need that. Like, I don't need gels. My body's different somehow than other human physiology. I can just, you know, barely drink, barely eat anything, and it'll all be fine. Obviously, that doesn't work. And I just, you know, printed plans off the internet, you know, your basic like Hal Higdon plans, and sort of self-guided. And I just kept getting the same result, which is that I would like hit a wall, walk, not make the goal, get upset, wait 2 years, sign up for another one.
Did you do that like through your, I mean, you had kids, like there was like a good segment there where you're either pregnant, you know, and with a baby. Were you running through all that too?
Yeah, I did. I did a marathon when my first child was one. And I won't say accidental because we wanted a second child, but I unintentionally got pregnant like 3 weeks before the marathon.
Yeah.
So that one, I just was like, I'm just going to take this super easy. I literally had like taken the test the morning we were leaving for the marathon, found out I was pregnant. So that was Toronto. And I just kind of, you know, took my time with that.
Yeah.
And then I didn't do another one until after my third child.
Got it. But I'm sure you were determined to get back. Was that hard after, like, did you feel your running body was different?
It was hard, but I definitely ran or at least walked vigorously at the, you know, to the end of all pregnancies. So even though the first few weeks getting back were hard, I did feel like it came back pretty quickly each time.
Awesome. So then what, I mean, you alluded to it in sort of making fun of yourself, but tell us what the keys were to breaking 4 hours. Like, what marathon was that, and how did it all come down?
Yeah. Well, one thing was I started running with a friend that's faster than me. I think that was really important. So after I had Declan, I kind of had been making friends with a mom who has twins that are my 9-year-old's age. So I knew her from daycare at the time, and we started running together, and I wanted to keep up with her. So I was sort of I was trying. And then, you know, once I had been running with her for a little bit, I was like, okay, maybe I should try again at this 4-hour goal. And then I got a coach, you know, and I let someone who knew more about it than I did, like, actually educate me.
Yeah.
And they're like, so what intervals are you doing? Like, I don't do any intervals. I just go out and run every day. So that, I mean, I think that probably was really the key change to my running. Started doing intervals, and then, you know, the first marathon I did after that, I really like improved so dramatically. So I think that one was, 3:49 or something like that.
Yeah. Which marathon was that?
That was, California International Marathon.
Mm. Have you done that a couple times, or was that the only time you've done it?
No, that was the only time I had done it. And it's promoted as a net downhill, but it's really rolling.
Yeah.
And my coaching has evolved, and they've taught me more about, like, you need to study the course and prepare for the course, which totally makes sense. But the first coach I used, who's just like a local, really a friend of someone, is more of a 10K runner, and he really didn't even have me think about it. So the day I was there running it, I was like, wow, this is really hilly. I don't think I'm ready for it. But still, I was able to, like, you know, meet my goal, and I was really happy with that time. That was a breakthrough for me.
Yeah. How did you feel at mile 20? Like, how did the last 6 miles turn out?
That one, I still hit a wall a little bit, but I never walked. I still ran the whole thing. I ran the whole thing, and that was the first time I'd ever done that. But then by the next one that I ran, the following year, when I actually got my first BQ, I didn't ever hit a wall. I felt really good.
Awesome.
The whole time.
So what made that?
I think that probably was more the switch to the, to a, like, a real professional coach and the Hansen's plan.
Mm. And which marathon was that? What year?
That was, called the Bay State. It's here in Massachusetts, in Lowell, near UMass. And it's a fairly flat, and it's in October, which is perfect, you know, running weather, in the Northeast. And, you know, in the in-between of that, running CIM and really, you know, joining the Mama Docs group and listening to everybody talk about Hansen's and going through the program by myself with the book the first time, and then hiring one of their coaches, in the summer to prepare for the fall, that really, made the big difference.
Awesome. Yeah. It's a quite a bit of volume. Do you find that difficult with, you know, your career and your three kids?
Yeah. It's incredibly difficult. I think the first few months that I did it, I feel like I dreaded every day. Like, how am I going to get another 6 miles in today? How am I going to? But then eventually, after you've been doing it long enough, it just becomes your routine.
Yeah.
Your body gets acclimated to it. And then it's just the challenge of, where do you fit it in on each day of the week with your work and your family? And your schedule is probably a lot more unpredictable than mine is. I have a fairly predictable outpatient schedule. So, you know, I know which days are busier than other days, and I, you know, we just tailor my schedule around that. And that's how I was able to do it.
Yeah. Are you like a 4 a.m. type of runner?
No, I'm early, but I'm not that early.
Yeah.
Like, I pretty much wake up at sunrise 5:30-ish, but then I need to have some coffee and, you know, be up for a little bit before I go out. I can go out at 6 or 6:30 in the morning, something like that.
Okay. So are you usually, like, before your clinic, you're running, not at night?
I had a very regimented schedule at my old job, and I don't know if it'll be the same here, but I had certain days where I needed to go super early and I would do it before. And then I had other days where my clinic ended, say at 3:30, and I knew that I could run, you know, shoes on, be running by 4 and finish that before I had to pick up my kids at 6. So I had some days where I would do morning, some days where I would do afternoon, and they were the same each week. So I just had that sort of same schedule every week.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't yet know what my schedule is going to be here.
Yeah. Hanson, did you always stick to the 16-mile long run, or did you ever, like, I like to ask the Hanson's athletes, do you ever run more?
I do run more under the advice of my Hanson's coach. So
Hanson's-ish.
Yeah. Well, it's relative to your volume too. So if they're going to have your total volume a little bit more than their beginner plan, then it makes sense that you would do the 18s and the 20s, okay. I think proportionally. But yeah, when I did it from the book, I just did what it said. But then once I was working like virtually with their coach, I think every time I've gone through it, I've always had 18 and 20 milers.
Yeah. And you continue to like PR, like all these marathons.
Well, up until 2019, yes. And then, you know, it's been a little bit of a dry spell with
Corona. Well, we all had a dry spell. Yeah. There was like no races going on. What was your last marathon in 2019?
I did Bay State again. In 2019. And
was
that
your BQ? Your PR basically.
Yeah, that's my PR.
And you have not, is this your first Boston or?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the one that you also got into, are you in 2020 you're supposed to run?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry. So. Yeah. Did you do the virtual Boston?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you could say that's my most recent marathon that I've done is virtual Boston last fall.
Right.
It's not running a marathon. I mean, it is running a marathon, but it's not the marathon experience.
No, of course not.
It was enjoyable. I had friends there. I had family cheering for me, but, you know, I'm still waiting for that,
right.
That big Boston day.
Right. And you were, I mean, you ran a fantastic marathon, which got you into 2021, right? So that's what you are.
Yes.
Training for. But so when coronavirus, like, how was it in Rochester, number one? Like, did it all shut down all at once? And were you working, like, seeing outpatient, like, neuro stuff? Or were you in the hospital, like, reassigned?
I was not reassigned, thank goodness.
Right.
yeah, I feel like things just really, you know, clamped down within, like, a week or two of me even hearing that corona existed. Then everything was shut down. They basically cleared our schedules. They canceled elective outpatient surgeries. They canceled all the outpatient appointments. And then slowly over a few weeks' time, once they figured out how to get us all on telemedicine, they started booking, outpatient appointments as telemedicine.
Yeah.
So for a few months I was, at home almost every day, trying to do telemedicine with my kids because school was shut down. And my husband, because he's a neurohospitalist, he was going to the hospital every day and still doing his regular work. And one day a week I would go in on Tuesdays because that's the day I do procedures for headache, like Botox and nerve blocks. And, you know, there's no way to do that virtually and patients needed it. So I was still coming in during that time once we had found, we basically had a system where Chris would go in and round, get home by 12:30, and then I would drive to the clinic for one and I would do my procedure clinic.
Right. But when you were doing your telemedicine stuff, like, were you like watching your kids or you just turned on the TV? Like, did you have extra help?
Yeah, I pretty much turned on the TV, gave them screens. My 5-year-old, especially, it just became like a game to him to come into the office when he knew I was on a video. And it was very frustrating.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of my patients thought it was funny or they're cute or they're, oh, is that Declan? And then eventually I got a standing desk so that at least I was, he was below the level of the camera. And then if he was in the room, I was just swatting at him with my hand, but they couldn't see him. Sure. And then somewhere a few months down the line, eventually, one of our babysitters, we were able to, you know, convince to come for a certain number of hours per week. And she was staying very isolated herself. So she was really only seeing our family. And that was very helpful when she was there. But even when she was there, sometimes he would escape and come into the, throw the office door open. It was, I don't want to do that ever again.
Yeah. It's a unique experience. We don't have to relive it. So,
yeah.
I'm guessing that was March and you were, we were all planning to run, you know, Boston in mid-April. So how was that training cycle going for you?
I mean, it was going really well. I was also training for the New York City half.
That was, yeah, they canceled it last minute.
Really last minute.
Yes.
I kept holding out hope. I was like, it, maybe it's going to happen.
Right. Well, I was here. So I was kind of like, well, I'm here. If they run it, I'm running it.
Yeah.
And you look back and you're like, what were we thinking that we're going to run that race?
I know. I didn't. Yeah. Early on, I did not have, I didn't grasp the severity of the pandemic.
Yeah.
So my training was going well. I mean, I almost have a little bit of PTSD from the training and the hill work that I was doing because it was so hard.
Yeah.
And I did all that work and then there was no race. And now I'm basically week one starting to train for Boston again. And I had a hill workout this week and I was just thinking, oh my God, I don't know if I can do this again.
Yeah. You really do. I mean, I've looked at some of your workouts. They are really hard.
Thank you.
And I can say that, I mean, there are just certain people I know who, like, we have very similar marathon PRs. And I cannot do any of your workouts.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, no.
I've been really lazy about posting them too, but.
I know. They'll just make me feel guilty, but I'm like, I don't know.
I'm still actually wondering about this. So I switched my coaches in the fall, which I was using one Hansen's coach and I felt like I wasn't getting enough feedback from him, although I was having great results. So sometimes I'm like, well, why did I switch? But one of their other coaches is this amazing female athlete who lives in Rochester. And I just hadn't been assigned to her originally, I think, because she was out on maternity leave. So I switched actually to Coach Melissa and she's run in person with me a few times while I was in Rochester and she's really great. I just haven't had a race opportunity yet to, you know, see right. How her coaching really works out.
Right. Is she currently coaching you?
She is. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. We dropped out, but you know, it's actually a good thing. I like to like do these in two separate parts anyway, like 30 minutes. So it's all for good.
Perfect timing then.
Perfect timing. We were talking about your relatively new coach, Melissa, and you had, I guess, tried to plan a really fast marathon that wasn't really like a marathon that had fans in it.
Yeah.
It was just like a course that you would run and it was certified and all that. So if you did, you know, BQ or whatever, you're going to be able to use that time. But it sounded like there was like no one there and it was just you.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, in retrospect, I really wish that I had never signed up for that. But
right.
We, you know, like everybody else, I was looking for a goal. You know, it had been so long without a race and there were these races put on through McCurdy that actually Rachel had told me about because she uses a McCurdy coach and they were accepting up to 50 runners for these. I don't know. I guess you call it a pop-up marathon. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I signed up and I was like, oh, maybe I won't even get in. There'll be hundreds of people want like dying to run this race. But no, in fact, there were like under 30 people there.
Yeah.
And literally the week of the event, we were getting some updates about it. I really didn't know much about it. I just knew it was in basically a suburb of Syracuse, and it was in like a, in a park. But then when we got more updates, I came to understand that it was four loops out and back, and that it would be open to the public. There are like people walking dogs and, right, you know, all these rollerbladers, the rollerbladers.
Oh my goodness.
So many of them. And again, I was like, oh, and they'll probably be, you know, I'll find a buddy or another buddy that will kind of be running the same pace and it'll all be okay. But I mean, within 2 miles, it was just like I was just out running a marathon by myself, trying to push myself to my limits. And it was not happening. Not happening that day.
Yeah. You ran a great, half marathon or?
I ran half of it. So that's still something.
Yeah, it's still something. So what's on your schedule now, even though you are in the middle of a move and probably a little bit discombobulated?
Yeah, I've been running 6 days a week. She kept my schedule pretty light for several weeks, you know, in the moving period. But I would say starting last week, she put a workout on for me, and a longer-ish run. And then this week I've had a hill workout yesterday, and I have a tempo run Friday and then a long run Sunday, which is sort of the usual, that's the usual schedule.
Yeah. What's the tempo run? Like, what is her typical?
What is it? I'm remembering the one from last week. So first of all, we had to pick like what my goal even was. And I really didn't want to, because of everything I've read, I really didn't want to push myself like to my limits. I want to enjoy it. And I want to respect how difficult the course probably is, because I've never run it and I don't know. So we decided to aim for a pace of like 7:47. So it feels silly because she's very exact to the second, you know.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know, 7:45, 7:50, something in that zone.
I mean, that's still like a, I don't know, 3:20 something marathon.
Yeah. Yeah. That's basically my PR from 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So to do that on a harder course, I think is still a challenge. That's still going to be challenging. And I think it's a 6 mile tempo. That's usually where the tempos start, 6, and then there'll be 8, and then there'll be 10, and then there'll be 12, which is what she calls the marathon simulator.
Right. I was like, 12 miles tempo to me sounds like death.
Yeah. That's like the final worst one. Yeah. And then the hill workout, it was like 2 minutes uphill, 2 minutes downhill, at like a goal effort, not the pace per se, but the effort of that pace is how she writes it.
Yeah.
And so I did that yesterday, and I don't know my way around here that much. So I went to a road that I thought would be good for it, but it turns out that when I run down it, it seemed like it was like a really steep hill, but when you're running back up it, actually it's not that steep and it was more rolling. So I kind of cheated the workout a little bit, I think, because it didn't wind up having the right amount of incline for long enough as it was supposed to. So I have to keep looking.
Yeah. you'll get to know your roads, I'm sure, pretty well.
Yes.
In the next couple months as you train. So are you running any like shorter races between now and Boston?
I don't have anything on the calendar at this point. No.
Yeah. New York has a couple things going on if you want to drop down here. The New York Roadrunners are finally putting on races. So there's the Fifth Avenue Mile is happening in early September.
Cool.
I know. I mean, I can't think of something I'd want to do less than run an all-out mile.
Yeah.
But
it's my absolute fear. And Coach Melissa had been like, if you ever want to just do a mile time trial, she's like, I'll pace you on the track. This is when I was in Rochester. I was like, yeah, maybe sometime.
Yeah. No. Thank you. We'll take our pain over several hours, not over
Yes. You know,
6 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever it's going to be. So, no thanks. Do you enjoy like the intervals or the tempos or just the long runs or what do you enjoy?
I think I enjoy the interval work and the tempos at this point, although a few years ago they frightened me and, you know, terrorized me and I wouldn't sleep like worrying about them. I actually like them now and I find just a long, easy run kind of more boring.
Yeah.
And especially now, before I moved, my best friend that I run with a lot, she had an Achilles injury, so she hadn't been able to run for months. So I was running by myself all the time. And now here I don't have a run buddy yet. So I think the long, slow runs are more boring to me.
Yeah. Have you, I don't know, reached out to anyone or looked into who's around and the run clubs or anything like that?
I haven't had a lot of time to look into run clubs, but it's on my agenda. And I figured I could ask Amy too, although she doesn't really live in Concord, but she might know. But there's a mama doc who had to leave the group just because she left social media. But we went to college together and she lives a town over in Lexington. And I think we'll probably meet up from time to time to run. But yeah, I got to maybe get involved in a group or something just to break up the monotony.
Yeah. Of being alone. Yeah. What did your husband think of all this? Is he a runner? Is he supportive? You think you're crazy or?
He's very athletic. He has done 2 full Ironman. So I think that's the craziest, you know, I mean, what's crazier than a full Ironman? And those are the only marathons he's ever done, like in an Ironman.
That's crazy.
But he's all in on a hobby or he's out. So when he was triathlon, he was like all in on that for a while. He's gone through like phases where he's all in and weightlifting. Or he goes through phases where he just is sort of inactive for a period of time, which is where he's at right now, just because we have so much other stuff going on. So I think he thinks I'm crazy to keep trying to work out like this when we have so much other stuff going on. But he supports it.
Oh, that's the best. What about your kids? Are they, looks like they're active. Are they runners or have you been, you know, had them run like little kids races or anything?
Yeah, they've done some little kids races. I think my daughter probably likes running the most of my kids. I hope she'll be a runner. I think they don't like me running. I mean, probably everyone's kids are like this, like, why do you have to go out again? Why do you have to run? You don't have to do that. You know, whenever I'm trying to leave in the morning, but they also, I think, really enjoy coming to a race when the races are back and seeing the excitement of it all. And I mean, they're going to love seeing what Boston is like, I think.
Yeah. That's really cool. It gets to be your hometown race now and they get to go out to the course.
Yeah.
Yeah. And cheer mommy on. That's exciting.
Yeah. In fact, my 5-year-old dressed himself today and it chose to wear his future Boston Marathoner t-shirt that I bought him 2 years ago.
Aw, very sweet.
Well, I have 3 different sizes because I bought one for each kid. So I'm not even sure whose shirt he's wearing, but they're all identical. But yeah, they've certainly heard the word Boston Marathon about a million times in the past 3 years. So they'll be ready for it when it comes.
So exciting. It's your hometown race. It's your first Boston Marathon. Your kids will be there. And you get to sleep in your own bed.
Yeah.
It's going to be perfect.
Yeah. I hope so. Let's just get some perfect weather.
Yes. I don't know if Boston ever produces perfect weather, but
it's never been in October before.
It's never been in October. I was just going to say, but like, I don't know. October could be a little hot. Depending. Well, let's see. I mean, as long as it's not hailing or a nor'easter is going on, I think.
Yeah. Were you in that one?
I wasn't. I missed that 2018 by 2 seconds.
Oh.
And then I watched it and I was like, thank God I missed interviews.
That would have been horrible for your first.
It would have been horrible for my first, but then 2019 was a little warm for me, and there was some walking going on, Joy, I do have to say. So, yeah, take it from someone who's fallen on her face. Yeah. It's so easy to go fast that first half. It's all downhill. It's so easy to go fast, but show some restraint and then you'll have a good second half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's easier said than done, right?
It's so easy to say. You're like, I'm going to be like this pace. I'm going to run an 8-minute mile, like nothing faster. Yeah, that didn't happen. Like, I'm winning the Boston Marathon. This is awesome. I am Des Linden. This is amazing. And then, yeah, the sun came out and it wasn't fun anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it'll be what it is. And, you know, hopefully we'll have a great contingent. I'm still actually not sure. I think I'm going to run Boston. I'm considering London, but London doesn't seem like a good situation right now. So I'm not necessarily interested in going like overseas, but we'll see.
Yeah. And we'll see. Are they offering deferral?
Well, that's the thing. I'm waiting for them to say that because there's still some weird quarantine rules going on there. Like, how can they expect people to go show, you know, like be there for 2 weeks? Like, you can't, you know, most people don't have time to quarantine once they get there. So, yeah. What's your overall goal? Like, do you have any goals to like run certain marathons or major marathons or anything like that? Or is it mostly just getting faster?
I mean, I started all of this really to break 4, and then I did break 4 hours, and then to qualify, and then I did, and then it's been just waiting to actually run Boston.
Yeah.
Basically since 2018 when I qualified. So I think that, you know, that's a major goal, actually make it to the start line and actually finish the race.
Right.
Healthy,
not injured or anything.
Yeah. And I don't want me to not enjoy it because I'm feeling miserable and I'm hitting a wall and I'm just like, get this over with after I've been waiting, you know, 3 years to do it. So my goal really is to try to enjoy it and feel good. So I can take it all in.
Yeah.
And then my other running related goals, I've really wanted to improve my half marathon time. I really would like to continue getting faster at that race. So that's a goal. And, you know, I did all that training for this spring marathon that I wound up quitting. I would really like to, at some point, run a marathon at that speed and kind of check that off and finish that goal. You know, I would improve my PR, but I'm not going to be doing that at Boston.
Yeah. Did you even think ahead and choose a spring marathon? It sounds like you probably are going to run a spring marathon.
I haven't. And I think I can get into Boston if I want, because it looks like you can kind of double dip your 2019 time.
Right.
And I think if it got me in for this one, it probably will get me in for that. But I'm really reserving and seeing how I feel after I do it in October, like about the course and doing it and like, and then having to train through the winter here, like, do I want to do that or not? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, are you a summer trainer? Like, is this weather okay for you or is the winter better for you?
I'm a person who really enjoys running for like those perfect 6 weeks in the fall. And then I just complain about the weather the entire rest of the year.
Yeah.
No, I wilt in the heat. I absolutely like lose pounds of water and I don't like to drink and I suffer horribly, but the payoff when the weather is better than in the fall, I think this is the best training condition. You train in the summer when it's awful and then you run the race in the fall and it feels amazing. And like, that's how I prefer to do it. I don't mind running in the cold, but I do get scared of the ice and the footing and, you know, the unpredictability of snowstorms and in Rochester, that was a major concern. And I think it will be here too.
Right.
So I would much rather run in the summer for a fall marathon than train in the winter for a spring marathon.
Wow. I feel like I should take a poll, but I feel like you're in the minority of people. Mm. People are like not loving the summer. I like summer training too. You may know, but winter, it's just all those layers too. I feel like winter running is so complicated. You have to like wear so much stuff and have so much equipment. It just makes it complicated. I just like to wear three pieces of clothing and my sneakers and like run out the door.
Yeah. So. And there's more, for me, there's more chafing in the winter because there's all those layers and you're sweating under the, you know, the warm clothes and I get chafed on my back and your fluids freeze and it's hard, complicated.
So you said you're someone who like didn't like to eat or drink and do any of that stuff. So what else did you learn about marathoning in terms of like hydration and taking gels? Because I assume that you're doing those things now.
I mean, I still probably underhydrate because I hate carrying the fluid. It's not that I hate carrying the fluid more than I hate ingesting the fluid. So if there was someone handing me a cup every 2 miles, I'll drink the cup. But I hate carrying fluid. So I am trying harder. I have my whole routine with the Capri Sun pouches that I do as long as it's like maybe less than a 13-mile run. So if people haven't seen me ever post this before, I discovered that a Capri Sun pouch fits perfectly in the pockets of like Wazelle shorts.
That's a good tip. I missed it, but go ahead.
It's compressible, you know, cause it's a pouch and it has its straw with it and it has the little window for puncturing it versus other drink pouches, like an Honest Kids or something that are very hard to puncture. The Capri Sun you can puncture while you're running.
Yeah.
And in fact, you can get two Capri Suns. Like if you have the tool belt Wazelle shorts, you know, you can fill up your tool belt with Capri Suns. And then when you're done drinking it, you just have a very lightweight piece of trash that you can either continue carrying or just drop in a trash can versus belts that chafe me or vests and things like that. So I use the Capri Suns. If it's super hot or it's a really long run, then I am going to have to wear the hydration vest, which
you don't sound thrilled about.
I hate. Yeah. I finally found one that I would say is the most comfortable of anything I've tried. It's a Patagonia vest.
Huh. Okay.
It has two pouches up front, like in the chest area. And it's kind of weird because when you're drinking it, you feel like you're drinking from your own chest, kind of, like bend your head down and just suck from this, like from the nozzle that's right there. But it's the most comfortable version of carrying water that I've tried. So I will use it when I have to.
Yeah.
And then I take a gel like every 5 or 6 miles.
Got it. Have you tried the Nathan Vapor How or whatever that's called?
I haven't tried that one. Is the water on the back?
It is. Do you not like that? It's the one with the hose that comes over the back.
I think I've tried something with a hose before and I found cleaning the hose difficult.
Yeah, that's true too. I mean, there's always, you know, pros and cons to everything.
Yeah.
But so during a marathon, I'm guessing, are you just taking, because the major marathons, every 2 miles, there's something. There's, you know, water and Gatorade. Are you just, you're doing the cups?
Yep. I'll just take whatever they hand me.
Yeah. You're not someone who carries stuff.
No.
With you.
No, definitely not. Yeah. And I'll have at least 4 gels, like, in my belt.
You know? Yeah.
And my goal is to consume them all. And usually, you know, by the third one, I just really don't want to do it anymore. But you have to.
Yes.
Force yourself to take it. You'll feel better. It works.
Yeah.
And for me, I seem to tolerate almost everything except for Tailwind. I tried that because people in Mama Docs were using it. And I just didn't tolerate that at all. But I can take any gel, any...
Yeah. Have you tried the Mortons or Martins or whatever?
I have. I won a pack of them from Emmy.
I did too. Okay, can I tell you I hated them? I thought it was like, it was disgusting.
To me, they're like a flavorless Jello shot.
Yeah, and I put it in my mouth, and I was like, the texture was so gross. I was like, I'd rather have the sticky, sweet, like gooey stuff. And I was like, it was like ultrasound jelly or something. And then I was like, my first reaction was to spit it out, but I was like, no, just down it. So, and I didn't know whether to chew it. It kind of had this, like, I'm like, am I supposed to chew it? And
yeah.
Anyway, I didn't like it at all.
I hate it, but I don't love it either. Once I use them all, I'll just probably go back to goos.
Right. I like goos the best. And I take them every 45 minutes. And then I remember the last one at 3 hours, I'm like, I always think to myself, do I really need it? Because I really only have like 20, 25, 25 minutes left. And I'm like, no, do it.
Yeah.
Do yep. it.
You got to talk yourself into it.
But... You got to do it or else you're going to regret it. Like, so yeah, those are all good tips.
Yeah. Plus I think I think I recover better. Like I'm not destroyed after I've done a long run or even a marathon. If I've taken enough nutrients during it.
Yeah.
You know, I can feel pretty normal the rest of the day, really.
Yeah. Well, normal-esque.
Yeah. For normalists, for a right. runner who was beating their body up all the time.
Right. Are you a Nike, you know, shoe person, like, for the race?
I mean, I've become one since I joined this group.
I call them the cheater shoes, but I happily wear them, so... Yeah.
Do you find now that you've had them for a few years though, that you don't feel that same, cause I don't feel that same amazing benefit when I wear them anymore.
Right. Well, maybe. Because we wear them all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. To train, I'm wearing like a Nike. I just love these shoes. They're like, I can't remember the next person. No,
the Tempo Next Percent.
Yes.
Yeah. I have them.
Freaking love them. They last forever, which is, more than I can say about other Nike shoes. But anyway, I freaking love them. I haven't gone back to so I have Alpha Flies now, which I haven't worn in a year. I wore them for my virtual Boston. But you're right. There's probably a smaller difference between my everyday shoe and this race shoe. So mm-hmm. I'm probably going to get not a great big boost on race day.
Mm-hmm.
But I love these shoes. I like the Nike shoes. I mean, I feel like I'm supporting the evil empire, but I kind of like the Nikes. So yeah.
I liked the Zoom Fly, which they don't seem to be making anymore.
Yeah.
For my everyday shoe. But yeah, so yeah. I have the same ones you have for my everyday shoe. And that might be part of it. Why? When I put on the race shoes, I'm like, kind of feels the same.
Yeah. Oh, it's true. They're very slimmer, but I really like this. I personally like this new iteration the best. Do you have a Nike Alpha Fly?
I had them. I also bought them for my virtual Boston because I need something to get excited about. Let's get this like hot new shoe.
Yeah.
And then they didn't arrive on time.
Oh, so you haven't worn them at all. Oh, no. Did you wear them for your marathon that you bailed on?
No, I didn't wear them for that either. So people will probably cringe at this. So they arrived like in September after I had already done that virtual. And I was like, well, there's literally nothing on the horizon because everything was still shut down.
Right.
Like, I'm just going to use them for speed work.
Oh, that's
and just
okay.
like try them out, take yeah. them to the track, do yeah. this. So like for the better part of the year, I just use them as like a speed work shoe.
Awesome.
And they're really bouncy.
They are really bouncy.
I probably won't buy that shoe again, but I used them until they were, you know, shredded up and then I recycled them.
All right. Great. Well, we'll look forward to like, do you know what shoe you're going to wear for the marathon now?
I have a pair of Next Percent that are waiting.
Yeah.
For a race.
All right.
Yeah.
Dust them off.
Yeah.
Are you done with today? Are you in terms of work? You still have more stuff to do.
I have a coding meeting.
Okay.
Where just me and the coder will talk about medical coding and
all right.
So that'll be riveting.
Yeah, it sounds really exciting.
But necessary. And I think this is really great. At where I worked before, I often had questions about whether I was billing things correctly, et cetera. When I would try to get some feedback on that, you could not get an answer. I got this email explaining that for the first 2 months of my employment, 100% of my billing is going to be reviewed and I'm going to be getting feedback from Bill. And I'm actually like looking forward to that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Every move that you make will be watched, Joy. Yeah. So
that's really smart.
Yeah. No. So you'll learn a lot.
I will learn. And I think that's really smart on the organization's standpoint, because I'm sure doctors all over the country are either under or over billing certain things. And, you know,
yeah,
we can be taught, just teach us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm sure most of us are under billing. So let's get paid for our work.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Did you run yet today?
Wednesdays is my day off.
Ooh.
So I'm enjoying not running today.
Yeah. Do you cross train at all?
I was all last year, and now since I've moved, I've completely dropped the ball on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, last year I started working with a trainer and I was lifting 2 days a week. I did it for a year. I put on muscle. I thought it was good for me. It was keeping me uninjured. But the bottom line is that when I'm left to my own devices, I just don't like lifting weights.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of at a crossroads right now where is that something I'm going to pick back up and try to get in a gym and do, or am I going to kind of let that go? I'm not sure.
You know what I'm going to say about that.
Yeah.
Find a gym, find a trainer.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good for you.
I should.
Yeah. It's so good for you. It's going to make you faster in the end too. Stronger, faster.
Yep. And I did like being able to lift heavy things. Like, it's satisfying once you've been doing it for months and then you can do something that you haven't done before, but it's so slow to me.
Yeah.
The progress, seeing your progress is really slow.
It's slow, but it's, you know, it's just like running sometimes, you know, you can make bigger gains at certain times, but,
yeah.
You know, it can be very satisfying. So, all right.
Yeah.
Thank you for spending an hour with me, Joy. Like, I know you have a million things going on. Are your kids, you said your sister is taking care of your kids, or sister-in-law?
My sister-in-law is visiting from Pittsburgh, and she and her teenagers are helping out. And so my niece and nephew, and they're at the pool right now, but they'll be like a loud noise soon as they come home for lunch. But awesome. Yeah, it's been great having her to help out.
Yeah. What's the plan for childcare after they go?
So we sort of have a rotating door of family coming this summer to help out, because we weren't sure where we were going to live or how to get into a camp, you know, which ones would be right in proximity. So we basically just set up family each week this summer. So we're going to have constant visitors for this whole summer. But they're family, so they know there's like crap everywhere and unpacked boxes, and they'll be okay with that. So after she leaves, my niece and nephew are staying for a week on their own, and they're like high school and college age. They're going to help with the kids. And then my in-laws are coming, and then for 2 weeks, and then my dad is coming for a week, and then our babysitter is coming for 1 week.
Your babysitter from Rochester?
Yes.
Oh, that's so nice.
I don't like to even, I shouldn't even call her. She's a close personal friend and babysits our kids. And yeah, she's like a second mom to Declan. So, you know, we're thrilled to have her come, like, sort of be family/nanny for a week.
Awesome. And then school will start.
Then school, yeah.
Amazing. Well, good luck with this whole transition and your new job, and especially with training. We look forward to seeing all your workouts and all your hard work pay off. And I guess I'll see you. you know, hopefully, knock on wood.
I hope so.
In October. So
yeah, I would like that.
Yeah, that'd be really fun. All right, Joy. Thanks a lot. Have a good afternoon.
Great day. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, Joy, for carving out some time for us to just catch up with your life. We wish you good luck with your new job and situation. Hope things will calm down this summer. And good luck with your marathon training. A bunch of us will see you in Boston, and it'll be so exciting. And I hope everyone had a great run. All right, take care. Bye.